All righty, hour number three of our radio program. Busy day. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. The Jets suck. They get rid of their GM. Now their coach is already gone, too. Aaron Rodgers still remains. Will he be back next season? We shall see. We were joined by Matt Leinart earlier. He wants to see more toughness out of USC, even after USC's victory up against Nebraska. We predicted the college football playoff rankings, and I think they will go down tonight. And if you did miss that, I did put the bracket out at Zach Gelb on Twitter. Is where you could find it. And I'll also throw it up on my Instagram as well, at Zach Gelb, ZACHGELB. And my best guess is this: Oregon 1, Texas 2, Miami 3, BYU 4, in terms of who's going to get the byes. I then have Ohio State going up against Boise State, 5-12. Penn State going up against Georgia, 6-11. Indiana going up against Ole Miss, 7-10. And then Notre Dame going up against Alabama in the 8-9. I'm curious how high Georgia will rise this week, after being left out of the rankings last week, or the bracket last week, I should say, but now they're back after their enormous victory up against Tennessee. I do think Tennessee will be out, and I'm curious of the placement of Alabama, Ole Miss, and Georgia. I put them as 9, 10, and 11. We know Ohio State's going to be in that fifth spot. Oregon's going to be one. Does any of those teams in the SEC jump a Penn State or and Indiana this week, and how are they going to rank Bama, Ole Miss, and Georgia? Because you did have Ole Miss and Alabama both defeat Georgia this year. So some things to monitor, and I would still think BYU is in. Are they going to have a bye spot? We shall have to wait and see, and I still think Miami would be in out of the ACC. Now, you know, the more and more I think about the 12 teams, at the end of the year, I'll do this real quickly. Will they be in or out? I'm just talking about the bracket. Oregon in, Texas in. I'm starting to lean that Miami's going to be out. I would not be surprised if SMU or Clemson, you know, whoever gets in that ACC championship game, is able to take down Miami if Miami is there. So I'm going to start to say your conference champions are going to be Oregon. You know, I'll stick with Texas for now. Now let's just do in terms of teams that are going to make it. I'll go Oregon. I will go Texas. I think Miami will be out, so I will put SMU in there instead for now. BYU, I don't think is going to make it. I would put Colorado. And then all the other teams, I think, are going to hold. I don't think Tennessee is going to make the playoff this year. So I'll have Indiana, even after a loss to Ohio State this week, I still think they'll get in. They ranked fifth last week, so I still think they'll get in. Ole Miss, Penn State, Georgia, Ohio State, Boise State, Notre Dame, and Alabama. Now, I think those are going to be your 12 teams. So BYU, even though they'll be in tonight, I think they'll be out at the end because Colorado's going to get in. Miami, something just tells me they're not going to win the ACC. Even though they're too reliant on Cam Ward, and he's phenomenal. But there were some games early in the year that they should have lost that, you know, officials, the screw job up against Virginia Tech, and what a heck of a comeback up against Cal. And I think the bye spots are the ones to watch in terms of the Big 12 and the ACC, and even though Miami and BYU will probably be in tonight at the end of the year, I think it will be SMU and Colorado. After that, I think everything else is going to hold. Maybe not in terms of the rankings, but just the teams that are going to get in. So once again, Oregon at the end of the year, I think will be in. Texas, SMU, Colorado, then Notre Dame, Alabama, Ohio State, Boise State, Indiana, Ole Miss, Penn State, Georgia. I think those will be the 12 teams at the end of the year. All righty, let's update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We get to a news brief right now.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
So I saw Michael Irvin, the playmaker. He was at that Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight. Is there an event that Michael Irvin is never at? You know, every year, Michael Irvin is always at any event that's big. Michael Irvin is there. But so that stadium, that fight was in Jerry's World. And he was on some show on, well, I guess it was the Netflix coverage is where he was on. But that's where I saw it. And he was basically saying, yeah, Jerry and I, we got to talk about Deion, Coach Prime, potentially coaching the Cowboys next year. And Jerry just sat there and kind of chuckled at it. So this was on The Herd on FS1. Michael Irvin was asked, would Deion Sanders, Coach Prime, primetime, would he go to the Cowboys and be their head coach?
News today, you do believe that if Shadur went to the Cowboys, Deion would accept the job.
believe 100%. And I can tell you, good sources have told me that. Great sources have told me that. That's all I can say like that without violating anything else.
I think what you need to say is there a sources, because it's one source there. That would be Coach Prime who he's talking to. I don't know. I still think that Deion, and maybe I'm a dope here, which is a chance that I'm a dope. I still think Deion is going to be back as head coach of the Colorado Buffaloes. If he's going to leave, I think he leaves for another college job. And if he does leave to eventually go to the NFL, I do think you're going to need to see the coach that drafts Shador then get fired within a year or two. But the Cowboys would be crazy enough to hire someone that is kind of like an underwhelming hire and then draft Shador and then go, okay, we're going to move you to offensive and defensive coordinator. We'll still pay your salary, but then we're going to go hire Coach Prime. That would be something that is Cowboys-like. Here is Jerry Jones. He's still doing these press conferences, these media availabilities when his teams lose. Jeez, just shut up, Jerry. Here is Jerry Jones as Mike McCarthy lost the locker room.
Last night says, oh, that lost the locker room. I remember John Madden and Al Davis called me after we won one game the very first year, and he said, well, at least you didn't lose the team or the locker room. I said, well, what's that? How do you lose a team? You misplace them on the road or what? And I'm not trying to be cute here, but they say, well, you didn't lose it. Well, I can tell you in there right now with the kind of careers a bunch of those guys have, I don't worry one ounce about losing anything as far as in the family of losing a team.
Huh? Stu, maybe it was my headphones. I need to hear that again. Go ahead, play it again.
Last night says, oh, that lost the locker room. I remember John Madden and Al Davis called me after we won one game the very first year, and he said, well, at least you didn't lose the team or the locker room. I said, well, what's that? How do you lose a team? You misplace them on the road or what? And I'm not trying to be cute here, but they say, well, you didn't lose it. Well, I can tell you in there right now with the kind of careers a bunch of those guys have, I don't worry one ounce about losing anything as far as in the family of losing a team.
I hate to say this. I do. I feel like I was watching or listening right there to the first presidential debate before, right, Biden had to tap out. That's the nicest way I could say what I just said there. That made absolutely positively zero. And I mean zero sense. I feel bad making fun of Jerry Jones at this state. He asked for it, but he just doesn't sound like he has it all there anymore. Your last six home games, your team has been outscored in the first half by 141 points to 51. In just the first half. When you look at the entirety of those six games, 0-6 being outscored by 235 points to 101 points. And your team, here's the other part too. And it goes back multiple years. The team has admitted they have not been ready before the start of playoff games. So yes, there is a disconnect in that locker room. Now I get it, you're starting Cooper Rush last night. How bad is Trey Lance, by the way, that we can't see Trey Lance get the start in Dallas? But Jerry, he speaks. And it just, I don't even know what he's trying to say there. That he doesn't care? Stephen Jones got to be like, Dad, enough with the interviews. Because the Cowboys are done. I don't want to say they're irrelevant because they're always a talking point. But don't add fuel to the fire here. You know, don't show up with your clown shoes on, Jerry Jones. Just shut up. All right? Be silent. Silent is better in this situation. Be like all the other owners in the league. They don't talk after games. That's tough to hear. Whether you like Jerry Jones or not, that is tough to hear. Let's listen up to John Harbaugh. This was asked after those two missed kicks. I know he's has not been the immortal Justin Tucker so far this year, but here's John Harbaugh. Would they consider replacing Justin Tucker?
No, there's no thought to that. I mean, you have to find that competition first. Just if you're going to be blunt about it. You know, where is that competition? That would be one thing. And the best option right now is to get Justin, you know, back on point where he's because he's fully capable of doing it. Certainly haven't lost any confidence in Justin Tucker. He's definitely our best option, and he's going to make a lot of kicks. I really believe that going forward. That's not competition right now at this time. No, that's not something we want to hunt for Justin.
I think this would be fun. Stu, how similar do you think John and Jim Harbaugh sound? Just sound alike when they speak.
Pretty close. I think there's a slight difference in their voice, but it's pretty close. It's like a 9 out of 10.
Now, this could be a horrible radio idea, but you think it's pretty close to being identical. Maybe we just pull some clips from Jim Harbaugh talking and John Harbaugh talking and see if I could spot the difference coming up, in the next week or two. Do it on a Wednesday or something, the middle of the week. Let's go to Sean Payton. Great game by Bo Nix, but he's telling everyone to relax, pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah, let's not send this kid to Canton quite yet, please. All right? We're sitting here, middle of the season. He's playing well. I'm excited. The film showed he's playing well. The film showed a few things, though, that I wanted to scream at him about. We'll keep correcting those things. But I like the way he prepares. I love the way he comes to work. I love his enthusiasm. I think it's naturally contagious. I think he's a winner, and so I'm real encouraged by that.
Let me just say this. Sean's growing on me. I didn't like at the end of New Orleans. He left, and he just wasn't honest, and it's because he didn't have a quarterback. The obsession with Taysom Hill as a quarterback was always bizarre to me. I didn't think he was a good fit in Denver, and he just took that job to take a job. I didn't love how he treated Russell Wilson. But I will say the early part of this marriage between Sean Payton and Bo Nix is fun. I don't know how fun it is for you, Stu, because you're in the AFC West and you don't have a coach, you don't have a quarterback. But I will say I didn't like Sean a lot the last 2 to 3 years. The last few weeks, he has kind of reeled me back in, Stu.
Yeah. No, it's been a good story. Yeah, it doesn't bother me because my team's so uncompetitive.
You're just, I hate to say it, you're
down.
Numb
yeah,
to other team success.
I am.
Like, you go in the hallway here, Gallo, he is a Broncos fan. He hates Sean Payton.
He does, yes.
And I think this is actually tough for him that they're winning because he wasn't a believer in Sean Payton. But here's Stu. This is now 20-something years where you don't have a consistent coach or a decent coach. And I know you had a nice little run with Derek Carr, but no one ever viewed Derek Carr as this legit quarterback. Your team has failed to find the quarterback and the coach over and over and over again.
And there's been a lot of both. There's been a lot of coaches and a lot of quarterbacks.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm hanging out with you too much. A Jamarcus Russell video interview came up into my reels last night.
Great.
And it was someone asked him, I forget what show he was on. They're like, maybe in The Pivot. And they asked him something along the lines of, you know, how do you react to being the biggest bust in NFL history or one of the biggest busts in NFL history? He was like, well, I had to be great at some time to be the biggest bust in NFL history. And he took it as a compliment.
Unbelievable.
It was kind of crazy. And I'm not saying that I know I had the guy in Drake May necessarily, but my team had 20 years of Brady and Belichick. Even Mac Jones made the playoffs once. Then Belichick's out. Mac Jones then stinks. And now they draft Drake May, and I'm convinced that Drake May is going to be a really damn good quarterback in this league. I don't know if Mayo's going to be a good coach, but have you ever had that moment outside of the season where Carr got hurt and he was looking like he could have been the MVP? Has there ever been a moment in the last 20 years where you've had a season where you think you had either the right coach or the right quarterback?
So when they traded for Carson Palmer, I thought that was a good move and that was going to propel them in the right direction. And then, like you said, with Carr in 2016, Carr and Khalil Mack, I thought they were really building something that was going to be pretty good. But other than that, no.
Yeah. You're due. Okay?
Yes.
Don't
yes.
hold your breath. I don't want to lose you. But you do, Stu. You do. Here is Shams Charania. The Sixers suck, and they had a team meeting. Listen up to this team meeting on the Pat McAfee Show.
Last night, they had an hour and a half long team meeting in that post-game locker room in Miami. And I think a lot was said, a lot was accepted, a lot was aired out. Oh. But most notable of all that, Pat, I was told Tyrese Maxey, he challenged Joel Embiid, the face of the franchise, that we need you to be on time for team activities. And saying that there's a trickle-down effect. When you are missing, when you are tardy, when you are late, for what I was told, everything for everything was the line. It has an effect on the rest of the locker room, the rest of the players, the coaching staff. This was the elephant in the room that I think a lot of people saw coming for a really long time.
Nice to say. Does Joel Embiid, does he take that, even though he has a good relationship with Tyrese Maxey, to heart? Or does he kind of just brush it off? That's... Say what you want about Allen Iverson with the whole practice rant. And I know Joel Embiid has won an MVP. Joel Embiid, you could be a whole lot better. And you got to put in more work. I know your body is basically, it's been broken down for a while. But when you get on the court, you're this unstoppable force. But in the playoffs, the same thing every year. You're out of shape. And you don't last long in these series. You know, a few years ago in Celtics, I hammered a bet in the middle of the game because I knew that Joel Embiid was going to give you nothing in the second half, because I've seen this over and over and over again. That's a bad look for Joel Embiid. Embiid's going to request a trade, because I don't think that dude's going to be able to weather the criticism and weather the storm. And I know, right, Heat culture, it's the antithesis of Embiid. I would not be surprised if Embiid's like, oh, let me go down to Miami. Let me go to Miami. Would not shock me one bit. All right, Paul Skeens. Who wouldn't want to be Paul Skeens? You know, obvious. It's because he's one of the best pitchers in Major League Baseball, started the All-Star game, is the NL Rookie of the Year. And, oh, yeah, by the way, he's dating Livy Dunn. Hello. MLB Network, Paul Skeens on winning the NL Rookie of the Year.
Congratulations, Paul, from all of us. What does this honor mean to you right now?
This is cool.
It's amazing because Livy Dunn has such a great personality. She has a lot going on for her. She has a great personality, though. Right? She knows how to dominate social media. Paul Skeens has zero personality. Zero. What is it like to win Rookie of the Year? It's cool.
This is cool.
And even Livy Dunn, she was laughing hysterically because she knew that was going to go all over the place. Here is Myles Garrett on TJ Watt last year being upset that Myles Garrett won Defensive Player of the Year.
I've never complained about the trophy not being in my house and vice versa. He shouldn't be feeling two ways about it going to me. So, I'm just going to play the game. I don't play against TJ, he doesn't play against me, but we'll have a plan to go out and do what we're supposed to, win the game, and dominate on defense. But it's up for grabs this year, and we'll see the best man win.
Stu, it's amazing to me, because you've been on these teams that have been really bad, and you have players talk. It's amazing that players who talk when their teams stink, and they take shots at other people whose teams are really good and successful, it makes no sense. And I know you could only answer the questions that you get asked, but there's ways to avoid making yourself just look like a fool here. And as a fan, there's nothing more insufferable when you're on a losing team and your team isn't playing well, when players go out of their way to try to tear down other people because of previous beefs when they're having success. The Jets do it. The Browns do it. Joel Embiid, does it. It's amazing how some of these athletes just do not get it. Simple as that. All right, I'll play you one more. His Mr. Mumbles, Bill Belichick, on the Let's Go podcast with Jim Gray on Aaron Rodgers.
With Aaron, I'm not sure. You still see the snap in his throws. You still see the ball come out quickly and accurately. Maybe a little less mobile than he was, but doesn't look like it should be that limiting of a factor. So, I don't know. I think being on the inside is really, certainly there's been a lot of turbulence at the Jets this year, and it's probably negatively affected a lot of people, not just him.
Let me just tell you something. The Jets, they're a bleep show. All right. If Woody Johnson was on fire, I wouldn't even urinate on him to put the fire out. We could all pile on Aaron Rodgers. I hear that talk show host, Zach Gelb, on Sirius, going after Aaron. Let's just be real. The Jets will always be the Jets. And there's a better chance that I will set myself on fire than coach the Jets. All right. Because the Jets are a disgrace, an absolute disgrace, and I hate the Jets. All right, thank you, Bill, for that. All right, that's a news brief. It is Zach Gelb on the Infinity Sports Network. We will do overreaction, proper reaction. Next.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
All righty, let's get rocking and rolling. Stuart, what do we got, Stupac?
All right, so the Cowboys, they got smoked again, losing 34-10 to the Texans last night as Cooper Rush was forced to throw the ball 55 times, passing for a touchdown.
That should be illegal.
Yeah, it's not nice.
So I didn't even realize that. I'm not going to sugarcoat something. I watched that game for about a quarter and a half, then I fell asleep, and I was so thankful when I woke up and I didn't have to watch that nonsense. He threw the ball 55 damn times. 55. I know they were getting... You know, it wasn't as much of a blood as the final score indicates. You know, for it was 17-10 game at halftime. But you never thought that the Cowboys were ever going to win the game. But they had him throw the ball 55 times? Oh, my God. That's rancid. Rancid. Continue. Sorry.
So noticeably absent from the game was former number 3 pick Trey Lance, whom the Cowboys traded a 4th-round pick for last season. Now today, Sean and RJ on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas asked Jerry Jones if he would like to see more of Trey Lance under center.
I don't know that. I thought Rush actually had improvement last night from the game before. And frankly, there were times in that ball game that I thought it was really coming to it. We know that we've got limited time to work with these quarterbacks at this particular time, and I would look for us to stay with the experience.
All right, so overreaction or proper reaction?
Shut up!
The Cowboys should
stop talking.
Trey Lance the rest
of the
season.
Not you, Stu. I'm talking about Jerry Jones. Don't think I'm yelling at you. Oh, you know, do me a favor. Play me Jerry one more time, please. Just play one more time for amusement's sake.
I don't know that. I thought Rush actually had improvement last night from the game before. And frankly, there were times in that ball game that I thought it was really coming to it. We know that we've got limited time to work with these quarterbacks at this particular time, and I would look for us to stay with the experience.
Okay. At least you saw some improvement from the 13 completions last week that he had for 45 yards. If he couldn't improve from that, that would be a problem. So, good for Cooper Rush. He's had some improvements, though. Continue with your question. Huh?
So, overreaction or proper reaction, the Cowboys should start Trey Lance the rest of the season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a proper reaction. Cooper Rush is 30 years old. He's a backup quarterback in this league. I'm not saying Trey Lance is going to be the guy. It's clear that the 49ers, even with all those picks they traded to get him, then gave up on him so quickly because... It's weird, because when I interviewed him when he was at North Dakota State, such a professional. He just sounded like how a quarterback should sound. He sounded so mature, too. Something has to be so horrific behind the scenes with him, because it makes no sense how he can't even get the opportunity. I'm not saying to usurp Dak Prescott. I'm saying to start for a dreadful team. And maybe, like, here's, you know that Dak's going to be the starter next year. But if Trey Lance plays well, at least you get something back for him. But geez, it makes no sense outside of this dude must be one of the biggest busts of all time that he can't even get an opportunity. So you asked me that the Cowboys should start Trey Lance for the rest of the season. Yeah, it should be a problem. You have nothing to lose. The team sucks. You're going nowhere. You're bringing in a whole new coaching staff anyway next year. Just play the kid.
So reports surfaced that not only the Giants would be benching Daniel Jones, but would move him to quarterback 3 behind Tommy DeVito and Drew Locke. Now Jordan Schultz is saying that part of the reason Brian Daboll chose DeVito over Locke is because he's likely coaching for his job the rest of the season. So overreaction or proper reaction, the Giants should fire Daboll after this season.
Will they? I'm going to say they do. I think they're going to get rid of Daboll and Shane. Should they? I don't think they should. Because here's the decision you have to make if you're the Giants. Give you plan A, I'll give you plan B. You're going to have a top 5 pick of the draft. Draft the quarterback, give Daboll and Shane 2 more years together to get the most out of that young quarterback. Remember, they had Daniel Jones, this regime, in a playoff game and winning a playoff game, which is remarkable. And I'm not saying these guys have done everything right. They wouldn't be in this situation if they'd done everything right since then. So that's option A. Draft a quarterback in the top five, whether it's Shador Sanders, Cam Ward, you get this regime 2 more years, and then if they make it work, great. If not, you're looking for a new head coach, new GM, and new quarterback. Or option B, you hand over your entire organization to Bill Belichick or Mike Vrabel. Here's the risk, though. You don't know for sure if Bill Belichick or Mike Vrabel would join your organization. And in order to explore that, you could maybe do some back-channeling behind the scenes, but you'd have to get rid of Daboll and Shane. What happens if they don't want the job? If someone else comes calling, then that's a problem. So the Giants should fire Daboll after the season. I think they will. I don't think they should, though. I would go with option A, and I would say, all right, let Daboll and Shane draft a quarterback. Let them go get Shador Sanders or Cam Ward, and then you give them 2 more seasons. So when you ask me the Giants should, that's the key word, should fire Daboll after the season, I will say overreaction.
The cursed Bears lost their 11th straight against the Packers on Sunday thanks to a blocked field goal on the final play. However, Matt Eberflus says that there should have been a penalty on the Packers and is sending the tape to the league office.
Yeah, we had to be firmer inside. Yeah, we had to be firmer inside for sure. And again, we'll turn the play in, you know, because obviously they were on our long snapper, you know, so we'll turn it in and see what the league says from there.
So overreaction or proper reaction, the Packers should have been called for a penalty on that play.
So he's not wrong, okay? I just watched back the play. He's not wrong. But if I'm a Bears fan, Matt Eberflus, stop. Do you know how much of a loser you sound like, oh, we're going to send something into the league? But that's what losing coaches do. They just complain about the officials when they lose. So should they have been called for a penalty? Yes, proper reaction. But I have no, like, you know how many weeks to see someone hit the center or jump over this? I have no clue how they call it anymore. It's supposed to be obvious, but it's like, what's a catch? What's pass interference? What's holding? You don't have a damn clue how it's going to be officiated. So I thought they should have been called for a penalty. But I also think Matt Eberflus shouldn't be bitching about the officials when your team can't win. All right? When you lose, don't complain about the officials unless you're a good team and it's so egregious. So let's keep it moving still.
All right, the Steelers improved to 8-2 with their impressive win over the Ravens, and now Mike Tomlin has leaped to the top of the odds for Coach of the Year at plus 300. Dan Campbell is second at plus 400, followed by Jim Harbaugh at plus 500, with Kevin O'Connell and Jonathan Gannon rounding out the top five at plus 650 each. Overreaction or proper reaction, if you were voting today, Mike Tomlin would be your Coach of the Year.
Oh. It's a great question. Because, you know what? There's a great case to be made for Tomlin. Because everyone thought he was crazy for the quarterback decision, and it worked. I would still say it's Dan Campbell. I would still say Dan Campbell, because I didn't think that team was going to make the... Dan Quinn. Because I didn't think the Commanders were going to make the playoffs for the year started. And if they make the playoffs, how does Dan Quinn not win Coach of the Year? You know, Jim Harbaugh, Sean Payton, those are other guys that stand out to me. O'Connell, sure, with the Vikings. It feels like weird not to give it to Tomlin. But if I'm voting right now, even though they just lost, I would still give it to Dan Quinn because I still think they're going to make the playoffs. So if you were voting today, Tomlin will be your Coach of the Year. I'm going overreaction there.
All right. The 2024 rookie quarterback class might go down as one of the best in recent memory. Caleb Williams is struggling, but is still considered to be a generational talent. Jaden Daniels has taken the league by storm, and Bo Nix is coming off of his first 4-touchdown game. Over New England, many are fawning over Drake May with John...
All aboard the Mayflower!
with John Gruden saying, quote, he's going to be a superstar, end quote.
And now, man, John Gruden.
And now Dan Orlovsky saying...
Oh, Dano too?
Needs to be in the Rookie of the Year conversation. And that, quote, his tape is flat out awesome, end of quote. Overreaction or proper reaction between Caleb, May, and Nix, you believe that May has the brightest future?
So not even throwing Jaden Daniels in there. I guess because how much I love Jaden Daniels. Want me to answer this as a fan or a talk show host?
Talk show host.
Okay. Drake May, obviously. Between Caleb May and Nix, you believe May has the brightest future? Yeah, I do. Here's why. Bo Nix has to play in a division with Patrick Mahomes. Caleb Williams plays for the Bears. The Bears, all they know how to do is mess up quarterbacks. Now, I get it. My Patriots haven't been that great since that guy Tommy Brady walked out the building. But I like what I'm seeing with Drake May. He's doing a lot with nothing. Caleb Williams has a lot. He hasn't thrown a touchdown pass in 5 weeks. And Bo Nix has to deal with Patrick Mahomes. Now, I know you could say, oh, but Zach, Drake May has to deal with Josh. All right, that's fine. That's fine. Well, let's look at the second teams in that division in the AFC West. Chargers got to deal with Herbert, or the Broncos have to deal with Herbert and Jim Harbaugh. I got to deal with Mike McDaniel and Tua Tagovailoa, overrated. And the Jets, they can't identify a good coach or quarterback if their life was dependent on it. And if it was put right in front of them underneath their nose. So, yeah, if we're saying who could be the second best in that division for the foreseeable future, because that's what this conversation basically is, I'm going to rock and roll with Drake May. So that is a proper reaction. You believe May has the brightest future between Caleb Williams, Drake May, and Bo Nix. And also, Hickey is all in on Caleb Williams. So that means the guy is not going to be as good as what people think he's going to be. All right, it is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. We will take a timeout when we come on back. Who regrets not hiring Jim Harbaugh? One team, and it's very, very, very obvious. Update time. Here is Rich Ackerman. All right, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I saw a tweet last night, and the tweet was from Jordan Schultz. Text from an NFC GM. The amount of regret some teams have for not hiring Jim Harbaugh when they've had a chance, it's very real. So I think it's pretty obvious who they're talking about. They're talking about the Chicago Bears. Now, I don't think that's coming from inside the Bears building. I don't. But it's pretty damn obvious that the Bears, who are going to fire Matt Eberflus, and I said this last year, they should have hired Jim Harbaugh last year. Now, I don't know if Harbaugh would have taken it, to be clear. I mean, I know he played for the Bears, but I think he really wanted the Chargers job because it's like you look at it, it's kind of the perfect mixture of all worlds. No one's going to question you, really, with the Los Angeles Chargers. The fan base isn't as intense and as large as some other fan bases. That's my way of saying, Chargers fans, you got to pick up the intensity a little bit. I know, San Diego to LA, I understand that, but come on. But also, you had Justin Herbert. And I thought there was a great appeal of getting to coach an established quarterback already in Justin Herbert. And Harbaugh, you know, is going to be a little quirky. He's going to want to build his team a specific way. He could kind of operate to the beat of his own drum out in the Chargers, and they'll give him time. But I'm trying to think here, Stu. So this is a text from an NFC GM, according to Jordan Schultz. The amount of regrets some teams have for not hiring Jim Harbaugh when they've had a chance, it's very real. Now, maybe some in the Bears building wanted Harbaugh. And right, the president and Warren and also Ryan Poles were like, no, we're keeping Matt Eberflus. So maybe this is coming from inside the Bears building. But if it's not coming from within the Bears building, what NFC team, and it says an NFC GM, who's the team that employs this GM that you think is dragging the Bears? I have to imagine, right, they're talking about the Bears here, Stu.
I think it's the Bears. If it's not the Bears, I mean, NFC, it's tough. There's not really a lot of...
It's definitely the Bears.
Yes.
So my question to you is, who's the GM? Who's the rival GM?
Oh, I see.
That's dragging the Bears here?
Probably the Packers.
Right?
Yeah.
Especially after you beat them and in the way that you beat them?
Yeah. It's got to be.
I think it's got to be the Packers. So you think Gutekunst is calling up Jordan Schultz? And he's like, hey, how stupid are the Bears? All right? And they had Jim Harbaugh, who played for them. And they could have had him coaching Caleb Williams besides this poser and Matt Eberflus, who all he does is he has the slick hair all the way back. Like, come on. So I'm looking at this right now. Teams outside of the Bears that could say, yeah, we have regret not making a tougher run at Jim Harbaugh. Hey, Stu, you think there's a team out there that may have some regret?
I do.
You know who that team is? Sorry, I'm like Roger Clemens. I'm misremembering a few things.
That's
who would
right.
that team be?
Yeah, certain West Coast AFC team that, you know.
In the division, too.
Yeah, and they had a chance, and I guess, you know, the McDaniels hire was more sexy to them at the time. I don't know. It obviously, looking back, it looks pretty bad.
Well, not even that.
They or this offseason, too.
This offseason, too.
So twice.
So you're 100% right. I forget who it was. Bonsignor, does he cover the team?
He sure does, yes.
Maybe it was him. I used to do this segment when I was on from 6 to 10 p.m. Eastern time. Story time with Uncle Zach here. Gather around. If you have a little campfire going, get the marshmallow, roast the malo, put the malo on top of the cracker, put the chocolate right there, and enjoy a little s'more. So I want to say it was Bonsignor. I don't even, who else covers the Raiders? Seriously. Now, they have other people that, it wasn't the guy Goldbranson. I like him. He's a nice dude. I really think it was Bonsignor. So, is he bald?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, okay. Yes. So, it definitely was him. So, we're doing this segment where we would do a coaching carousel. So, let's say there's 8 openings. We'd call, and we'd order it up whichever way. And we'd be like, okay, this team will hire this guy. So, someone took Harbaugh. And we get to Bonsignor. And he goes, I'm negotiating. Like, this wasn't even on the air. This is off the air. I go, he's already off the board. You're not, like, you either pick a coach. Or he goes, it's definitely going to be Harbaugh, so I'm not going to look like an idiot and not go with Harbaugh. And I go, it's a fun exercise. And I go, you know what? You're already too much. Next, we're going to go with somebody else. But he was so adamant that it was going to be Harbaugh. It ended up not being Harbaugh. But then they go back to Antonio Pierce after the interim thing. And that was coming off of Bisaccia, right? When they didn't hire Bisaccia.
Yes.
So then they hire McDaniels. Yep. And then it's like, okay, we got to hire him because he is the interim that had success. We didn't hire the last interim that had success. So we're not going to go make a stiffer run at Harbaugh. And we'll just have it. That was twice. Twice they could have got Harbaugh. Now, I think Harbaugh would have been, I love Harbaugh. Love him. Love him, love him, love him, love him, love him. He would have been an idiot, though, to go to the Raiders the second time around. The first time, I could at least see it because no one was hiring him for an NFL head coach. And the Chargers or the Raiders, it's the Raiders all day. I mean, it's the Chargers all day. I was like, yeah. Mike Elko there for a second. Did you hear Mike Elko today by any chance?
No.
So Mike Elko, they're playing Auburn this
weekend. I read this.
And he's talking about how important, and I've been there before where you're talking about something, you slip up. But he's talking about how important it is to be all in on the game this week. And then he's like, our focus is only on Texas. I mean Auburn. Because they play Texas the following week. That was kind of my moment right there when talking about the Raiders and the Chargers. But I would say right now, the Raiders have regret. The Bears definitely have regret. And I'll take it a step further. And this factors into the topic of the day. The Jets. Like, Harbaugh and Rodgers. See, I love Harbaugh. Harbaugh's a strange guy, though. And Rodgers is a strange guy. I think if you would have put two strange people together, it could have been a disaster. But I think they would respect one another. And Harbaugh is a player's coach, but he's not a doormat. Like, that's the biggest thing the Jets need to do. The Jets need to hire a coach. I don't know who they could get. But the Jets need to hire a coach who isn't a doormat. Because Saleh's a nice guy. I'm not saying my head coach needs to be a douche. But I don't want my head coach to be, oh, that's a nice guy. Because that means he has no control over the locker room. So I think those three teams, I don't know if Harbaugh would have gone to any of the three. But the Jets, the Raiders, and the Bears have to be the three that have the most regret right now. The fact that Jim Harbaugh's with the Los Angeles Chargers. I think all the other teams, like, I'm not saying Raheem Morris is going to go out there and be a fantastic football coach, but you know, they're going to win their division this year. You look around, I think that was the big miss here. And I mean, like the Commanders say, they're 7-4. So they've done a good job with Dan Quinn. I'm not saying I'd rather have Dan Quinn as my coach over Harbaugh, but you can't say you have much regret right there. And I know people were saying, oh, the Bills, right? I was even saying Harbaugh should go to McDermott has that team 9-2 right now. You wonder, though, if Harbaugh, if he waited a year. Now, this organization's too cheap, but I don't think they'll get rid of Zach Taylor, but imagine Harbaugh with Burrow. Whew. That would be something. And some people say, oh, what about Jacksonville? right? Well, Doug Peterson was coming off. He made the playoffs 1 year and then missed the playoffs. He deserved a third year. To me, those are the three teams that probably have the most Harbaugh regret. It's the Raiders, it's the Jets, and it's the Bears. Now, maybe he just wanted to go to the Chargers all along. That is definitely a possibility. Alrighty, fun show today. Zach Gelb Show, Infinity Sports Network. I'd like to thank Matt Leinart for stopping on by. He says UFC needs to be a tougher football team, so he echoed the sentiments of Clay Matthews, who joined us last week as well, and also said he would slightly prefer Shedeur Sanders over Cam Ward on who should be the first quarterback taken in the draft. We'll see what happens with the College Football Playoff Committee tonight. Once again, I'll give you how I think those teams will be ordered just in the bracket. Just the bracket. I think those teams will be ordered Oregon 1, Texas 2, Miami 3, BYU 4. Then I have Ohio State playing Boise State in the 5-12, Penn State playing Georgia in the 6-11, Indiana playing Ole Miss in the 7-10, and Notre Dame playing Alabama in the 8-9. So that's the way that I have that ordered. We also have to hear Jerry Jones today, which was a doozy. I feel bad for Jerry, and we did a lot on the Jets firing Joe Douglas. So Saleh gone, Douglas gone, and in all honesty, like, let's be real about this. Rodgers should be gone at the end of the year, but for some reason, I think he's going to be coming on back with 1 year left on the contract. Stu, Santa, thank you. Big thanks to each and everybody listening to us today. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific time. We'll see who else we'll get fired from now until then. All righty, bye-bye. Peace.